September already. We're in the school year has been underway. It's busy in Terre Haute. We're with Mayor Duke Bennett at City Hall, and appreciate you having us today.
No problem.
I did see some jail renderings finally came out in a public forum. Had you had a chance to look at those yet?
A little bit. You know, I knew they were rolling them out that night. I didn't see them beforehand, but I think it's good that we're kind of getting to the formal part of this design and wrapping that up. So it falls right into place with what they've been telling me all along that they wanted to do. I think they're listening to the public about, you know, the size and scope of the building and how they can be most efficient with it and make sure they have room for addictions and mental health counseling in the jail. So they seem to be accomplishing most of the goals that we're all looking for.
And some of the concerns, but, you know, too big, too expensive, but then I hear of the things that, like you just said, that the jail needs to have. So is it a good balance of preparing, you know, for the future?
I think it is, and I think sometimes people get hung up a little bit on the cost of the jail. I mean, it's not gonna be cheap to build a jail. There's no doubt about that. It looks like it's about 52 to 55 million. Of course, it has to go out to bid, we'll see, but it's in that range, and they wanna throw out a bigger number sometimes, but that includes all those soft costs that they've gone through to acquire property, do environmental studies. There's been a lot of things that have happened in that project, but when it comes down to the nuts and bolts of building it, you're talking, you know, maybe 55 million. You got to make sure that you get as much as you can out of that because you don't want to turn around and have to add on to it in a few years. And so I think everybody knows, everybody's on the same page that we need a new jail, but there's just still some argument about how big and whether the services should be there or offsite. I guess they'll sort those out.
Yeah. Next step, I guess Vigo County Council looks at them at 6 p.m. I don't know if that's tonight or tomorrow.
Yep. Today.
And then this is being done on a Tuesday for those
right.
listening
Sorry.
On a
yes.
Wednesday.
Yes.
I have to remind ourselves that. Is that a more of a, they're just looking at it, or is it an approval process?
I think what they're taking there to them is the purchase of the property, kind of finalizing that and updating them on just overall things. They're not ready to take the financing to them quite yet. So they'll have to get the design completed, agree to that, and then they'll go, you know, lock in the bonding part of it to get it built.
Next big item we always touch base on, the Indiana Gaming Commission now accepting proposals for a new Vigo County casino. They have until December 1st to submit proposals. The commission, of course, is looking and accepting proposals, but what are you looking for in an applicant to run a casino here in, if that
question.
Were to happen?
Sure.
Because
right. if the voters,
the
vote
voters
on,
have
right.
to vote. Yeah.
Right. So if that happens, if it passes the referendum, that's when we'll have the opportunity to, I mean, obviously you could, right now they're just making it known that they're interested and there's not been a lot of interest. So we're kind of surprised that, I think it's because of Illinois doing so many things. There is a ton of interest over there because they're doing multiple casinos. Here, what we want to make sure is we have a good community partner. So we want somebody who is going to give back to the community through the proceeds that they get from this casino. They're going to be someone who really wants to invest in Terre Haute. We want the biggest and best thing we can possibly have to bring people here. And so we're just looking for a stable company, stable financially, and that they kind of capture our vision that we want that to be a major destination in our community if the voters approve it.
And you are actively supporting the casino and trying to, as you've said in the past, educate or get people to understand why a casino is important. Are those efforts still ongoing?
Yeah, so what I would say is my goal all along is to bring the opportunity to the community. You know, I'm not, whether people gamble or not, that's their personal call, but we wanted this economic development opportunity. So now the referendum will allow the people to speak. If they say yes, then we're gonna make sure we get the best possible option for us, work with the Gaming Commission to make that happen, and then make sure we carve out money that we can give back to local not-for-profits, we can help with any addictions issues. We wanna address some community issues with some of that revenue.
I know you had a press conference recently with the ISU president due to changes to homecoming. I know we talked about this it's not until October 12th, but there were some issues last year with the tailgating and some tents. And for people who don't know, maybe you can give a little bit of an update on that because ISU just had a football game
yep.
last weekend too.
And everything went fine from that perspective. It's been homecoming. It's really, you know, it's related to just too much drinking and some violence that's happened. We had somebody that was killed here a couple of years ago. We had somebody that was beat up really bad. We've had some other little incidents just from people coming in from out of town and wanting to come and have a good time, and then something escalates. So what we decided to do this year in partnership with ISU is to make sure that we're monitoring as the people migrate from downtown after the parade and go out to the football stadium for the game, that they're, you know, well-behaved, and we're dealing with issues immediately and not letting anything kind of ramp up and turn into something bigger. And so, much bigger police presence. They changed some things on the grounds at the stadium that will kind of keep people in a more focused area. And I think all these changes are what we've been kind of found out is most other Missouri Valley schools are already doing this, and some other universities around here. I don't think it's anything that unique, but it's changed for the local folks. So that's kind of been the hardest part, was saying, well, okay, but I think it'll be fine at the end of the day. I really do, and it's going to keep people safe for homecoming.
Budget submitted. So yes. I assume a balanced budget.
We have a balanced budget. We gave the council the first draft of that. We're going to give them another draft Thursday night that's have some reductions in it. That'll probably be the final version of the budget, unless they want to make some recommendations for changes. Yes, it's balanced for the fifth straight year, so I'm excited about that. And we continue to build some reserves, so that will lead us then to even less borrowing in the future. So that's the goal here.
And does that include any money for the police station
construction? Yes, police station is in there, and so we're good to go on that.
We covered the Holman Center renovations, about more than halfway done, a major overhaul of that area, just a couple blocks from the new convention center that you also had a groundbreaking ceremony last week.
Yes.
On. That area really changing. This has to be just huge for Terre Haute.
It's really big. I don't think a lot of people can grasp that yet. I mean, in my mind, I'm just kind of envisioning what it looks like. But, you know, there are people that don't go to Holman Center because maybe they don't go to a basketball game or a concert or whatever. The convention center, maybe it's not something they use. But when you step back and look at what Terre Haute has to offer, whether you utilize it or not, it's going to change downtown and Terre Haute and West Central Indiana. I mean, we're estimating somewhere between 1 million and 1.5 million people coming to Terre Haute if we get the casino and we get the convention center open, coming to Terre Haute to visit one of those two places. There's so many other things for them to do, so many small businesses to visit. I mean, this just has a lot of impact on everybody. So yes, there'll be more traffic, there'll be more people, but they're here spending their money and having a good time in Terre Haute. So that's kind of what this whole thing is about, is trying to change our image in a variety of ways. And, you know, we rolled out the See in Terre Haute as part of our community planning process. And so really we're focusing on that tourism component, the Griffin Bike Park, the Wabashiki Fish and Wildlife, the cross-country facility we have. We want to just keep adding to our portfolio here to have a reason for people to come to Terre Haute.
And then how about the financial footing of the convention center? Is that set? Do you feel confident with
that?
Yeah.
What we focused on right now is the parking garage and the convention center from the CIB perspective. We're still negotiating with the developer of the hotel for the other parking garage. And it looks like he will build that and then we'll lease some space out of it. We were going to do it the other way around. We were going to build it and lease to him, but I think we'll maybe flip that. And it may come just a few months later than the other two. We're going to move ahead with our projects as we figure out exactly what the needs are there. And, you know, it's being privately owned, you know, they get to make those decisions about the timeline of building, but obviously in time for when we open this up, we'll need every parking spot we can get.
Yeah. And I assume now that's in full construction zone now?
Or soon to be. And so the utility relocation will happen
still
first.
Going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's a little bit cumbersome, but that's what will happen first.
So, you know, we've talked a lot in this show in every city about affordable housing and a variety of housing. And I was reading about the Mental Health American and Indiana State University coming together to build tiny homes to Terre Haute. They'll be built as a class through ISU students. Is this something that you support here in Terre Haute?
Well, I think we need to provide options for housing, no question. Whether the homeless will utilize these the way everybody would like for them, I guess that remains to be seen. you know, it's tough. I mean, there are examples of this in other communities. Some are working pretty well, some struggle a little bit because you need to manage those facilities. I mean, somebody's gonna have to work with people. So that's the key, is getting people plugged into the services they need. So if you can get them in a, you know, a clean, dry, warm house, and then help them get connected to social services or government services, whatever that might be, that's the key. And when they're out wandering the streets or sleeping along the river somewhere, that's much harder to do. So I see a lot of advantages to this. We'll just have to see how it works locally and what we need to help with. And so I'm glad not-for-profits are doing it. You know, that's all perfect, but we're probably gonna have to help with some government services along with that to ensure that we move them from that tiny house into more normal housing so we can help people get plugged back in.
Do you think there could be a connection to less people at the jail?
Could be. You know, some people, if there's a mental health or an addictions issue and they're homeless, I mean, sometimes you're even more desperate, obviously, than you might be otherwise. So I think there's probably a connection. I don't know how big of an impact that will have on that. That, you know, every community's a little different. So I guess we'll find out.
Was this a hard sell to the neighborhood, or are there any residents upset about these?
I didn't get any feedback at all. And maybe some council members did, but it passed, you know, unanimously the other night. So I think everybody's on board with giving this a shot. Let's see if this will work. And then what can we do next? Because there may be some people don't fit that one. You know, that's not a fit for them. But what else do we do over here to deal with some of the other segment of the homeless population? I like multiple options.
I wanted to ask you too, because we've been talking about this in Monroe County and Bloomington about recycling, and it looks like it's starting to happen here too, where these major sanitation and recycling companies are no longer taking a lot of the recycling, or the prices are going up considerably. Is this something that the city has to deal with here too?
You know, we've got, the numbers are going down. So with Republic Services, you can, you know, rent a can and they'll pick it up every other week. But fewer and fewer people are doing that. I don't know what the exact reasons, probably the cost is one of them. Even though it's not really expensive, people don't want to pay the extra. So we're looking, what we're trying to do, and we have one facility located here at City Hall now where you can come and put your recycling in this, and we get it picked up every week. We're going to add some more of those across the city. We don't want people to get out of the recycling habit, or, you know, the mentality of we need to recycle. But Republic doesn't have anywhere to take their product to. So they're building a huge inventory of recyclable material over in Indianapolis. And it's just the market has changed so much. So I'm hopeful that the market will fix itself and they'll be able to even do more. And so we're just really trying to keep that idea alive that people should recycle. You know, ISU's had to cut back on some things, and Goodwill, and everybody's facing a situation where there's certain things you just can't take anymore because there's nowhere to get rid of it at, and you don't want to send it to the landfill, but that's where it's going to end up because it has to go somewhere.
Does the city have a curbside pickup for recycling?
Yeah, Republic. So we don't do it, but you through Republic, you sign up with them.
Right.
They bring you a toter and they pick it up every other week.
So do you know, is that going to change?
Not at this point.
Is there a contract?
But I think at some point it might, but not right now. No.
Okay.
We're in the middle of our contract with them, so a little over halfway.
Okay.
And so at this point, they're just looking at ways to make it more efficient for them because really they're probably losing money on it.
It just seems like, you know, in this day and age when you hear about saving the earth, that the recycling efforts are kind of going backwards instead of taking more and being able to recycle more. But that's not something that a city can deal with,
no,
right?
No, because if Republic doesn't take it, then we're
stuck. Is that a statewide thing? Is that a national?
I think we're going to have to figure out. I really believe that the federal government needs to provide some funding to do research and development to help some of these companies out there who are willing to get into the business of taking those recyclable products and figuring out a way to efficiently and effectively recycle them. You just run into situations where, yeah, you can recycle certain things, but there's such a big market out there. You got to be able to do this quickly and turn that raw material then back around to somebody to use to, you know, to make something new out of it. And I just don't think there's enough of that push going on. Yes, it exists. Yes, it happens and it's successful, but there is so much material to be recycled. There's not enough coming out of it to be sent back to people in the manufacturing world. So how do we fix that? We probably need to improve the technology.
I wanted to finish up here with a new slogan that the Chamber of Commerce is rolling out, and the city and everybody. It's called See You in Terre Haute. Some of the population numbers, 2017, more than about 60,000 people here, but some of those numbers are starting to go down a little bit. You know, you have a major university, colleges here. So the question is, how do you keep those skilled workers and people here? And this is one of those efforts, right?
So we're looking at a couple things. One is Indiana's losing population. I think they're starting to see a few trends maybe heading back the other way, but that's been a problem for us. And we want people to stay here. We need our pool to be bigger. We need more workers and more talent. And so what we're trying to do here locally is say, what can we do to make Terre Haute, Vigo County, West Central Indiana stand out for a place? We'd love for more people to move over here from Illinois. We think it's cheaper to live here. There's plenty of opportunities. Our education facilities, the fact that we're a retail destination, a healthcare destination, there's so many things. Now we're trying to turn ourselves into a tourist destination. Also, let's just not have them drive here and spend a few hours. Let's let them look at Terre Haute as a place to live. And so that'll help us with home ownership, you know, new builds of homes. It'll help us to increase household income. All those things go to make the community better. And so we really just wanted to say there's a couple things we want to tackle. Our health isn't very good here. People don't make a lot of money here. How can we as a community rise up to support the not-for-profits and other entities that are working on those things by making it part of our overall plan? And so we're trying to make Terre Haute a better place through a whole bunch of different ways. One of them being rally around what our goals are, find out a way how you can help achieve those goals.
And you know, we see this, a good example is Kokomo, and Mayor Goodnight always says it's about quality of life.
Yep.
And so as far as putting a slogan on it, it's more than that.
We're trying to take it to the next level. We talk about quality of life all the time, but you know, that word gets used pretty heavily, but that's really what it is. It's like, what is your quality of life in the community you're living in? Is it a place where you think you can succeed? Is it a place you want your kids and your grandkids to be? And you know, Terre Haute's had its challenges in the past, and that we've turned the corner on that. How do we sell that locally to our folks here, but how do we sell it externally too? And so that's what we're truly trying to do, is take it to that whole next level of promoting ourselves, talking about our assets, working on the problems we have, and doing that together in a collaborative effort.
So see you in Terre Haute, I guess.
See you in Terre Haute.
That's all I had. Any other announcements or news that you wanted to share with everybody?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's fall, so now we're starting to have some festivals. We have the Coca-Cola Festival. The Blues Fest is this weekend. So it's always an exciting time when it comes to be festival season. But, you know, election's coming up. So this whole year has just kind of been a blur. Next year is going to be a really big election year, so people are talking about a lot of things about where the country's going, and we just want Terre Haute to stand out in a positive way. And you know, it's just really all about that quality of life, quality of place. What can we do to make Terre Haute shine?